European leaders have hit back at US President Donald Trump after he labelled them weak while claiming European civilization was being eroded by immigration. Speaking to the newest US news website Politico, Mr. Trump accused Europe of failing to control migration or end the war in Ukraine, while reiterating his support for far-right Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban. It comes as European nations are still reeling from the release last week of a new US national security strategy in which the White House claimed Europe was facing civilizational erasure. Niku Stefanoitis is a Romanian politician and vice president of the European Parliament. I spoke with him earlier. Niku Stefanoitis, welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Good to hear you. Thanks for inviting me.
In February, President Trump said the EU was formed to screw the United States. So he's long made antagonistic comments about the EU. With that in mind, what do you make of his latest comments?
Well, if you think about it, this is a way of communicating for President Trump. It's a whole new school of thought in which he uses very, very simple verbs, very challenging words and so on. I'm not sure if the American establishment thinks that, but the European Union was formed to guarantee peace. And we've been doing that for the past 80 years. We've been doing that to ensure prosperity. We've been doing that to show the world that unity can actually work. And we have not been a source of war for the past 80 years. We have been a source of peace, a source of value, a source of trade. So this is what the European Union is.
So do you think Donald Trump is just using language like this to send a message to his own voters domestically? Or do you think there's a disconnect between what Donald Trump says and what other Americans, including Americans in powerful positions, how they perceive Europe?
I don't dare to analyze his motives, but what I can tell you is that the European perception among regular Americans as well as regular Australians and other Western nations is positive, as it should be, as is our perception of regular Americans, regular Australians. So I'm not sure. I think it's maybe part of a negotiation tactic that's been widely documented. But I don't want to say more than that. I think even President Trump as such is not somebody who hates Europe. Perhaps it's part of his way of trying to obtain things via negotiations.
Some European leaders have accused President Trump of interfering with their domestic politics by signalling that he could endorse right-wing political candidates in some countries. Do you think that's something he would follow up?
To be honest, I've seen that more from people who have associated with the administration rather than the administration. I come from Romania, and Romania has had very difficult, painful elections that were cancelled due to foreign interference and so on. And there, I have not seen the State Department or even the administration say anything else than congratulations to the person who emerged as the winner. So I think we are also subject to a bit of a sensationalism that people like to personalize politics, you know, to put it all in Trump's hands or to put it all in somebody's hands. But to be honest, I've seen more Elon Musk doing that kind of thing than President Trump or the administration. He's a private actor by all means and standards. So I do not believe he represents the country or the administration.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast, and my guest is the Romanian politician and European Parliament Vice President Niku Stefanoitis. Niku, Donald Trump's comments do come at a bit of a precarious time in the negotiations to end Russia's war in Ukraine. Do you think the timing is significant?
Yes, I do believe that Donald Trump would like to see peace negotiations brought to an end. And I think this is a frustrating war for him because indeed the United States has made successful efforts in other parts of the world. But I'm not sure that frustration should lead the way to concession. because this is not just any war. This is the most serious conflict for the Western world that we've seen since the end of the Second World War. So this is not just any conflict, and we should treat it with the greatest attention. Now, of course, we as Europeans, we are also subjective. I must say that, because this is a conflict that's at our borders that can affect us. We don't believe Russia will stop here. We believe Russia has malign intentions. Will not stop at Donbas. I think what they're looking for is just, as Neville Chamberlain said, a fake peace for our time, which could only mean profiting from their position of strength, robbing Ukraine of a military capabilities, of its people capacities, etc. So I think it's, in some respects, it's actually even worse than Munich, to be honest. Because in Munich, at least, nobody believed that Hitler would really stop. But more importantly, everybody else built their own capacities. I mean, I remind you what Great Britain did, what France did, etc. Whereas we are in the opposite situation, where not only are we asked to believe Putin, but we are also asked to put down our own arms, which is unacceptable.
Given that, we've seen overnight that the leaders of Britain, France and Germany have had a phone call with Donald Trump to discuss the peace efforts to end the war, and they're saying it's a critical moment in the process. So what do these ongoing contacts, communications, what does that signal to you?
I think the Europeans really want to signal to the American president that it's a shame for the entire Western world, and that America's position to completely go on its own is incorrect politically, in the sense that it might seem like a reshuffle of resources, focusing just on the Pacific, the shift of focus to Pacific, which is not new. It doesn't belong to Donald Trump. I think it started way before Obama even, and it was continued by Obama. So we shouldn't personalize that much to say that Trump changes everything upside down. However, I think the Western world is better served united. And I truly believe that. And I'm equally interested in what's happening in the Pacific, what's happening to Australia, what's happening to Japan, what's happening to Canada, because this was an entire thinking that's now kind of put into question. And we do believe that it will be a disadvantageous way, including for the United States, including for our biggest ally. As a Romanian, I must say, we've gone along with the plans in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in many places, because we've put friendship and alliance above, you know, personal immediate interest. Now, if personal immediate interest is what counts for the biggest ally, I think it will have disastrous consequences for the entire alliance.
Niku Stefanutsa, I really appreciate you talking to me this morning. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Niku Stefanutsa is a Romanian politician and a vice president of the European Parliament.